In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Hey, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We continue with Luke 1. I just want to go over, the angel answered and said, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy Child which shall be born shall be called the Son of God." I told you that it's always about the Holy Spirit, that there is no Jesus without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes upon our Blessed Mother, and the Holy Spirit brings forth Jesus. At the Eucharist, the Holy Spirit comes upon the bread and the wine, and we have the body and blood of Christ. The Holy Spirit comes upon the community. That's why in so many places, so many churches, it's like business as usual. Well, where is the Holy Ghost? That's the issue. Where is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit draws people to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I don't mean knowledge in your head. I mean knowledge in your heart. You know, anyone can have a knowledge of Jesus in their head, but in their heart me brings conversion. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she also has conceived a son in her old age. Remember Elizabeth, that God came through Gabriel, and Gabriel told Zechariah they were going to have a baby, and he said, "I don't believe it." And the Lord struck him dumb for a while. And now Elizabeth is pregnant. Elizabeth is pregnant. Zechariah has relations with Elizabeth, and she's pregnant. She's with child. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. She was called barren. And the next line is important, for with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing, nothing, nothing. The Lord knows how to do many things and everything if we are in his will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus taught the disciples that the kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. The church should be the place where people meet and experience a drop of heaven, a beginnings of heaven, the presence of God. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing, nothing, nothing. I have seen the blind see. I have seen the deaf hear. I have seen the lame walk. I remember once when I was in Arizona, I was supposed to have a service on a certain day, and I couldn't get out of Arizona. So what I did is I called the telephone number of someone who had a cell phone, and we started singing "How Great Thou Art." There was a man who walked out of his wheelchair that day. I wasn't even there. See, I wasn't even needed. But I was needed to be the one who was singing "How Great Thou Art." We kept on singing "How Great Thou Art, How Great Thou Art, How Great Thou Art." And the Lord caused this man to leave the wheelchair. Everybody was so astounded. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing, nothing, nothing. I love the story of Sister, whatever her name is. They had no food for the breakfast when they were kids, but God had always provided food. And what happened is that the mother said to all the children, she had a brood of children, "We're going to thank God for always providing for us." And the eldest kind of said, "Yeah, he provides for us, all right, and we're going to school hungry." And the mother looked at the eldest child and said, "I'm telling you, God has always provided, and we're going to thank him for his provision in the past." With that, there was noise in the yard, and they went to the door to see who it was. Someone left a loaf of bread. God provided. Nothing is impossible with God. We can't tell God what to do, but nothing is impossible with God. If we place God and Jesus Christ at the center of our lives, we then begin to experience things that happen. I remember being at Sister Miriam's 50th anniversary as a nun. I remember being there, and I said to Sister Miriam, "We need your stories. You have to keep on allowing God to give you stories because you walk by faith. And you could be at this microphone and you could tell stories after story after story because you follow Jesus and the Holy Spirit is upon you. Oh, that's what was my homily. We need stories. Father Matthew has stories now. Lots of stories. Father Eric has stories. When the Holy Spirit comes upon people and we allow the Holy Spirit to move in our midst, then we have stories. We have stories, and these stories are always new. No matter what the story is, it's always something beautiful, always something new. You know, someone comes to me and says, you prayed for me 20 years ago, and my back was healed. It's saying, hallelujah, I need the same healing today. But you know what? People tell me these things, and they're not making it up. They're telling me what's happened, what God did for them. So there are always stories. I've had stories of people in prison who have reached the end of their rope, and they happened to turn me on, and God changed them, and they gave their life to Jesus. I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit is upon a person, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. I'll tell you another story. I remember one summer, I needed 3 automobiles because Martin was here, Father Martin was here, Father Joshi needed an automobile, and my automobile, I called it asthma because it was giving out. It was giving out. So let me tell you what happened. No one knew that I needed 3 automobiles. But one day this man comes and says to me, you know, I'm going to put on the road a 4-wheeler and I'm going to pay the insurance. So I gave that to Father Martin. I need 2 more. Then another person came up to me and said, I have a car for you, Mary. Would you like it? I said, oh, yes, that was my car. Then for Father Joshi, someone died and left the brother a brand new car. It only went 10,000 miles. Josie still has it. I got 3 cars that summer because I needed them. And I'm telling you, I wasn't begging for cars. I gave that car away that came to me, and I got another car. You see, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. When you plant seeds of faith, you reap a harvest. When you don't plant seeds of faith, you reap nothing. You're just living in the earth. I'm telling you, cars grow because I have given away so many automobiles to people. And what you sow is what you reap. You never think that cars have roots, but they do. In the Holy Spirit, God knows how to do things that only God knows how to do. But we have to be attentive to Him. For with God, nothing is impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. Mary says, yes, I will have this child, even though I have no husband. Mary's yes brings forth Jesus under the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, God is waiting for your yes. Jesus is waiting for my yes every day. Yes, Lord. Yes, be a yes man to the Lord. Be a yes woman to the Lord. Yes, Lord, whatever you want for me. Yes, Lord, bring people into my life. Just a couple of weeks ago, I said to the people, you pray that one person will come and that you can introduce them to Jesus. That day, I had 2 people who came. And they came and they came and they left experiencing the love of God. At least one of them said, I felt electricity go through me when you were praying over me. I was shaken inside. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God knows how to do things. We don't know how to do anything. But the Spirit of God knows how to do things. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes, you shall be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and throughout all the ends of the earth. So what does Mary say? Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. And at that moment, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. At that moment, in the womb of Mary, that egg became fertilized by the Holy Spirit. And I tell you that that child started to grow and grow and grow until 9 months later, they brought forth a child in Bethlehem and laid him in a manger. I'm telling you, it's always the Holy Spirit that does these things. God is waiting for your yes. You say, I don't want to say yes because every time I say yes, I get in trouble. That's right, because the devil hates Jesus, and because he can't get at Jesus, he gets at you. You've got to say yes because you were made for that yes. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. Lord, I say yes to you. I say yes, yes, yes. I say yes, yes, yes. I say yes, yes, yes. I say yes, O Lord. I say yes, O Lord. I say yes, yes. Yes, I say yes. Say yes to the Lord today. Say yes because he will give you something to do for him. There's so many people, you know, I wish that God would send me young men that I would not teach because I can't teach. It's the Holy Spirit who's the teacher. Young men, so that they might know that God is calling them to be what he wants them to be, and to be a very positive force on the earth. I can't bring those people to me, but if God wants, he sends them. I remember once this young person came to me from the western part of the state. He was kind of a good kid, you know, and, you know, we drove him around and did this and did that, and I just found out lately that he's in the seminary. Now, he would have been the last person that I would think that would go into the seminary. But you see, he writes me a letter and says, you know, I'm now in the seminary. You know, that doesn't mean he's going to be a priest. But at least he's discerning whether he wants to be a priest. That's a wonderful thing. But you know what? He knows the power of God. How many of our clergymen, Catholic, Protestant, and Orthodox, know the power of God? How many are just doing business as usual? We are not in a business. This is the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. Things should be happening because it is a living body indwelt by the Holy Ghost. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is so simple. These are the ABCs of Christianity. And yet people don't even know the ABCs. You know, they want to make complete sentences without knowing the letters. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy Child to be born shall be called the Son of God. And Mary surrenders to Jesus and to the Holy Spirit. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. How many people are surrendering to Jesus? How many people surrender their lives to Jesus? I tell you, when we surrender our lives, God brings about many people that we can draw them to the cross of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. But how many people surrender? You know, everybody wants to be a control freak. I'm in control of my life, honey. I'm not in control of my life. I learned that a long time ago. I might have plan A, but the Lord says, I've got plan G. And do you want to move with plan G? Because plan A, nothing happens in plan A. You see, surrender means that we will do the will of God and that we will be where the Lord wants us to be. And we will be used by the grace of the living God when we surrender. But you know what? Not many people surrender. Not many people surrender. We're a bunch of control freaks. Me too. I'm a control freak. I have to surrender my controls and say, Lord, let it be done unto me according to thy word. You see, things happen when we surrender. Nothing happens when we have sticky fingers. I remember a man coming to me, and he said to me, you know, my wife left me. I said, you know what? You've got to surrender that to the Lord. You've got to say, Lord, whether she comes back or not, I'm still going to serve you. You've got to let her go. You cannot make her love you. She didn't come back, but he had peace. Then there was another time that a woman came to me that her husband had left her, and I gave her the same story. You've got to let him go. You've got to let him go. And she let him go. And he came back. He came back on his own. You see, when we surrender, we leave the future to the Lord. And let me tell you, he's got better plans for you than you have for you. He tells us in Jeremiah 29, verse 9 to 11, I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a future and a hope. When you call upon me and seek me with all of your heart, you will find me with you, says the Lord. I know the plans I have for you. I've said it before, Jesus the Lord is the man with the plan. And you know what? I don't want to live a boring life. I want to live an exciting life. I want to see God move in me, to me, and through me. I want to see things happen. That's just the way it is. But that's why faith is so important, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If God can do this in me, he can do it in you. I'm not very special. If God can do it in Sister Miriam, he can do it in you, but you've got to surrender. And you know what else Sister Miriam prays for? That she would persevere in the faith and persevere in a relationship with Jesus. Today is the feast of Mother Seton. Sister Miriam is a sister of charity. Mother Seton founded their order. I tell you, there's nobody like Sister Miriam. There's nobody like Sister Randall. I remembered her name yesterday. You know, there's nobody like Sister Vincentine. These people are prayer warriors. These people love God. These people surrender to God. And God uses these people in mighty ways. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to thy word. The next line is really funny. And the angel left her. If she ever needed an angel, she needed the angel now. Because now she's going to tell Joseph she's pregnant. If she ever needed an angel, she needs the angel now. But she puts it all in God's hands. And Joseph has a dream. Take your beloved, take your spouse, take your the one you have promised to, because what she has is of the Holy Spirit. Mary just trusted God. Isn't that wonderful? You know, and the angel left her. I would have said, oh, my Lord, I need an angel now because I have to tell Joseph. And what about the people? You know, Mary was mocked. Everybody knows how to count to nine. Mary was mocked. She was mocked. The mother of Jesus was mocked for having a child out of wedlock. That's real. John insinuates that in one of his chapters, just a couple of words. But I tell you, Mary, our blessed mother, who gave birth to the Son of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, was mocked by people as being a bad woman. Mary of all people. Mary of all people. You see, she lived by grace. She lived by grace. What did the angel say to her? Hail, full of grace. And verse 39, and Mary arose, right after she says, let it be done unto me according to thy word. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah. Why? Because that's where Elizabeth is. She's going to help Elizabeth. It's going to help Elizabeth. And entered into the house of Zechariah, and she saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Isn't that amazing? That amazing. When Elizabeth heard the greeting, the baby responded to Jesus Christ in the womb. Oh, yes. This is the one that's going to be the herald of Jesus. This is the one that's going to proclaim the word of God in the wilderness. The baby responded in the womb of Elizabeth. Some people say this was the first time Elizabeth felt life. And what did she say when she was filled with the Holy Ghost? And she spoke out with a loud voice saying, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. You see, people that don't really care about our Blessed Mother, you better go to that 42nd verse of the first chapter of Luke. Because she spoke out in the Holy Spirit with a loud voice, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Well, if Elizabeth is the one that says under the Spirit that she is blessed, I tell you, you better call her blessed also. Blessed are you among women. A lot of people don't want Mary. I tell you, Mary was not an incubator for Jesus. She loved that child from the moment of conception until natural death. She was neath the cross of Jesus. She was the one that the prophet said to her, Simeon, that a sword shall pierce your own soul too, that the hearts of many may be laid bare. I'm telling you, Mary is the first Christian. And Mary is the first Christian. And she conceives the wonderful person called the Word of God, who becomes and named Jesus, because that was the name that they gave him before he was conceived. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? The mother of my Lord. Mary is the mother of God. Not the mother of the Father, not the mother of the Holy Spirit, but the mother of the Word made flesh, and his name is Jesus, and Jesus is both God and man. And it's not about Mary, it's about Jesus. Mary is the mother of God, the mother of the Word incarnate, the mother of the Lord, not the mother of the Father, not the mother of the Holy Spirit, but the mother of God. Mary is the mother of God. You know, how is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me? How is it? You know, Elizabeth feels, you know, privileged. She's filled with the Holy Spirit, and she speaks out. She wouldn't be able to speak those things out apart from the Holy Spirit. The Word of God said, and the Holy Spirit was upon Elizabeth. How is it that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For lo, as soon as your voice sounded in my ears, the baby leapt in the womb for joy. And blessed is she, Mary, that believed, for there shall be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Blessed are you, Mary, among women, and blessed are you because you believed what God told you. You believed what God told you. Blessed are you. You are the mother of my Lord. And Mary says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. See, Mary always magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Oh, yes, Mary. Mary isn't saying, I'm just the best thing since sliced bread. No, no, no. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaid. She knows who she is. She's part of the Anawim, the poorest of the poor that only have God. Mary knew who she was. He has regarded the lowliness of my handmaid. And I'm going to finish by saying, one day when Jesus was walking around, some lady said, blessed are those womb, the womb that bore you and the breast that gave you suck. And Jesus said, rather blessed is she who does the will of God, hears the word of God and does it. And you know what? That's Mary. She heard the word of God in Nazareth and she did it. She heard the word of God in Bethlehem and she did it. She heard the word of God in Cana and she did it. She heard the word of God at Calvary, and she was there. Mary is blessed. Mary is disciple. Mary is the woman of faith. And I say to you, we are called to have faith. We are called to have faith in Jesus, that nothing is impossible with God. And I know you're going through mighty trials, you know. And, you know, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. It's very difficult when you're going through mighty trials. But you know what? God is faithful. You surrender to him and you'll see what he's going to do. God is faithful. It's time to surrender. It's always time to surrender. It's time to say, Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. It's time, it's time, it's time. Take it out of your own hands and tell the Lord, I surrender everything to you. I surrender everything. I don't want to be in control anymore. Nothing happens when I'm in control. I surrender everything to you. My friends, surrender is what the Christian faith is all about. And how many people that are sitting in the pews will surrender to the Lord? I thank God for Mary who surrendered. I thank God for John the Baptist who surrendered. I thank God for Elizabeth and even Zechariah who finally surrendered. And I thank God for Jesus who surrendered himself to the Father, that he bore our wounds and carried our infirmities on the cross. He surrendered to the Lord. He surrendered to the Father for the sake of us, that God so loved the world, you and me, that he gave his only Son on the cross, that whoever would believe in Jesus would have eternal life. He is the Word made flesh, and he died for you and rose from the dead. May his name be praised. May the church praise his name day in and day out, because we have nothing but Jesus. We have nothing but Jesus, and we have nothing but the Holy Spirit. Don't depend upon your money. Don't depend upon your relationship with anybody. Depend upon Jesus 100%, 100%, 100%. He will not disappoint you 100%. I do thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the Word of God the best I know how. And the mailing address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And would you pray for me? I'd be very grateful. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.